Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yedem. We're going to now turn the page very, very far. We're going to turn the page back in time, a scant 15 billion years, to the time that Yahweh, which is God's one and only name, decided that it was in his interest to create a material environment. Up to that point, he had existed as a spirit, as energy, and he decided to convert some of his spiritual energy into a physical realm that we now know as the universe. And so we are being asked by him to consider what he did and why he did it. He tells us to closely examine and carefully consider the words that he provides in these, in this teaching, in this instruction, and that is what we're about to do. His opening introduction to humankind begins with his creation of the universe. It reads, "In the beginning, N is from Ba, the beginning is from Rashith, the Almighty from the Hebrew word Elohim, accordingly from the Hebrew concept of Eth, which speaks of accompanying and in association with, beside, created, that is from bara, conceived and caused a new existence of the spiritual world. It is shamaim. It's the plural of the term, and therefore we're talking both about the abode of God, the spiritual realm, if you will, as also the universe and also the material realm, Ha-Eretz. Now, while I mentioned this yesterday, while we do not have to translate Eth each of the two times it appears in this passage, and it is seven words long in Hebrew, and seven being the prime directive from God. Everything that he has done, including creation itself, is based upon the concept of seven. Six plus one is the model that God uses to explain his purpose, his promise, and everything that he does. The formula conveys the idea that man, who was conceived on the sixth day, plus God, who is one, equals his promise of a perfect union. And that is why seven is also the Hebrew word for promise. If you want to understand God's timeline, if you want to understand his nature, if you want to understand the path to him, you need to understand this formula of seven. It is not a coincidence that God's first statement to humankind is seven words long. Now, as I said, I did not have to translate Eth, which are two of these seven words, in either of these, either of the two times it was used in this opening statement. But it is germane to know that Eth conveys the idea of being in close proximity to. And that is essential for our scientific understanding, as well as our spiritual understanding of what is being conveyed here. God is telling us that he was there when he created the universe. Therefore, when he speaks of time, we have to calibrate time from relative, I should say, to his perspective. And time does not flow equally in all places. That's what Einstein proved in his theory, which is now proven, of relativity. That time is relative to the position of the observer. At great speed or in the presence of great energy or mass, time slows. At the proximity of energy and mass of the type that was present, at the instance the entire universe was created, a 24-hour day would have actually transpired over 7.5 billion years. That's the math. That's how different time would have flowed at that place. And we have to use relativity, and we will get into the specifics of this, to understand exactly how 6 24-hour Earth days is 15 billion years. And that they are exactly the same in terms of the perception of time, but relative to the observer. In this case, Yahweh is telling us about his experience creating the universe, F, beside it, in association with it and near it. But there's another aspect of F that we don't want to miss. The whole purpose of creating the spiritual world and the material realm was because God wanted to be in close association with both. He wanted the advantage of relationship, which requires proximity. And so it is through F that we learn why he created. Now, these broad brushstrokes known, let's take a moment and we're going to examine each of the words that were used here to convey this initial insight and examine them under the microscope of Hebrew lexicons. The first word is actually attached to a word. It is ba reshith, but ba, the preposition, is as are all prepositions in Hebrew. It is attached to the noun, in this case reshith, so it is ba reshith. Ba is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is drawn in the form of a of the floor plan of a home. It is a home with a singular way in, and as such, it depicts the very purpose of creation. God is interested in developing a covenant relationship with us. The covenant relationship is based upon the Hebrew concept of Be'eth. Be'eth is the Hebrew word for home. In fact, the letter Be'eth means home. So the first letter in God's opening revelation to us tells us the purpose of creation. Be'eth, home, family, is what Be'eth means. Be'reth, which is the covenant, is only one letter distant from Be'eth. It adds the Hebrew R to the word. And, of course, the first letter of the next word, Reshith, begins with the R. And so we not only have this depiction of a home, of a family that is being conceived here, we are told by Reshith that it is the first and foremost family. It is the first and foremost thing on God's agenda is to conceive a home for his family. So in the first two letters, we learn the entirety of God's purpose. And not only that, the way these letters were drawn, one of the things that is so interesting here is that not only does the Be'eth, the first letter here, which is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, depict a home where people are nurtured and sheltered, where families live, but this home, the way the letter was drawn, had a singular way in. There's only one way to become part of God's family, and that's through his covenant. Covenant also starting with this Hebrew word, Be'eth. It is Be'reth. And there is only one way. It is to come to know and act upon the terms and conditions of the covenant. And that covenant itself provides the means to salvation, and there's only one path to God. And it is with the seven invitations to meet with him. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. Shavuah, which is the promise of seven. Teruah, which means to shout out a message, a warning, and good news. The day of reconciliation, Yom Kippurim, and Sukkah, which means to camp out with God. And so here we not only know that there is one way into this family, one way into God's home, and that the home is the first and foremost thing that God created, but the Reth itself, while Reshith speaks of first and foremost, and therefore, this is the first and foremost thing on God's agenda, the most important thing in the world to him. But the Reshith, the letter that begins Reshith in Hebrew, was drawn in the form of a human head. It tells us that this home is for us. And it tells us that the way that we can enter this home is through our brains, our head. What is it about the human head, then, that would cause us to be able to capitalize on this home? We have eyes. With our eyes, we can observe Yah's Torah teaching. He tells us so many times, probably more often than anything else in his Torah, that he wants us to observe his Torah, which means to use our eyes to closely examine and carefully consider it. To use our brains so that as we're examining it, we come to understand it. What else about our heads is interesting here? We have ears that do not close, a mouth that will. God tells us almost as many times as he encourages us to shamar his revelation, he tells us that he wants us to listen to him. How do you listen to God? Recite his Torah, prophets, and Psalms. That's how you listen to him. And then he wants us to respond to him. After we have examined what he has had to say using our eyes, after we have listened to what he had to say using our ears, after we have processed what he has communicated to us and come to understand it, he wants us to respond to him, acting upon the terms and conditions of the covenant. We can do that with our mouths. So our head is the second letter, the first letter, being the depiction of the family, of the home, of the covenant itself. It is also interesting that Ba speaks of, and it means in Hebrew, in, among, with, near, in proximity to. So God is telling us that he is inviting us into his home. He is telling us how we can be with him. He's telling us that he wants to be with us, near us. All by the first two letters in the Hebrew language. When we return to Shattering Mist after the break, we have our good friend Larry calling in from Florida, and we're going to continue to talk about insights that can be gleaned when we closely examine and carefully consider Yahweh's Torah teaching. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Mist. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. I am your host, Yada. We are here now with Larry calling in from Florida. Larry, that's probably the first time that you heard the insights that could be gleaned just by examining the brushstrokes, the first two letters that Yah inspired Moshe to write in his opening declaration to humankind. What's your impression of the message conveyed just by the first two letters in the Torah?
Yada, I'm kind of blown away there. Those are some pretty in-depth insights, and it doesn't surprise me, though. I mean, you know, he is the master painter of words, and what he's depicting there is an opportunity to come join the family, and that's really what his writings are all about all along. I mean, sadly, they were hijacked by people with political intent, religious intent,
yeah.
And they've twisted a family-oriented Barith covenant into religious institutions. And yet, it appears to me, from everything that I've studied, from all I can ever get my hands on, that Yahweh's telling us not to have any part of those things, but to reach out. He's reaching out, and he's asking us to just go ahead and accept that invitation to come into the family and do it in spite of religion, maybe.
Yeah, he's even telling us how we can respond to this invitation. He's not only telling us it's an invitation to come into his home and be part of his family with the first two letters, but he's telling us how to use our heads, our eyes, our ears, our mouths, our brain to respond and accept this invitation.
Right? I mean, we're pretty much
one of the things that's Yeah, the reason I asked you the question about what your reaction was to it is that my hunch was that's the first time you've considered it, because the first time I've considered it. I'm about the task this morning of continuing our presentation of the Haya chapter of Yadaya as we begin to work our way right from the beginning through Yahweh's presentation of how and why he created the universe and how we can capitalize upon the opportunity that he has given us. And literally as I was reading the testimony, it dawned on me that, you know, there's far more to this than what I had previously discovered. And the realization is that when you are engaged doing what Yahweh encouraged us to do, which is to closely examine and carefully consider his testimony, the opportunities for learning and for understanding are endless. Now, for those who would like to find the verification for what I just shared, because what I was conveying was word pictures, if you go to introtogod.org, introtogod.org, and in the first volume of introtogod.org, about 70 pages into it, this would be the word volume, what you will find is a presentation of two charts. And on those charts, there is the progression of the alphabet that was used to convey Hebrew. And what we find first is that the alphabet for Hebrew was the first alphabet conceived by man. I actually think it was conceived by God and given to man, but whichever came first, it is the first actual alphabet. There was writing before that. We find cuneiform writing, but cuneiform is not an alphabet. So the first alphabet is Hebrew. That's the reason why the first two letters of the Hebrew alphabet comprise the word alphabet. It's alph and beth. That's how we get alphabet. And when you look at the way those letters are constructed, each of the letters, you know, Yahusha talked about the jots and the tittles of the Torah remaining intact forever, at least until while the heavens and earth exist. What he was telling us to do there is pay attention to the very strokes that comprise the letters of each of the words of the Torah, because their teaching would endure forever. And so when you do that, when you look at what was the alphabet that was used and what can we learn from it to write the first original autograph of the Torah, you realize the first two letters are depicted in such a way they tell us everything we need to know. And in this regard, you know, I would encourage every listener, go to introtogod.org, read the word section, come upon the chart that presents the shape and the meaning of the letters that comprise the original Hebrew alphabet, and you will find the verification for what we have just shared on this program, which indeed is profound. I am Yada, this is Shad. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yada. We are speaking about Yah's Torah, the introductory letters that comprise the first word of his Torah. They are Beth, and followed by the Hebrew word, or the Hebrew letter, Rosh. I did misspeak during the last segment, and I want to correct something. The chart that I would like you to view, if you would like verification for what we have just talked about, is actually on page 36 of the web presentation of the book Intro to God. And so if you go to His Word volume and then you go down to page 36, you will find the very chart that I was describing. It is page 69 of the document when it is a 1,200-page singular word document, but page 36 on the web in that particular chapter. Lots of insights here. God is using Bayeth, which was drawn in the form of a home with a singular entrance. The word itself, the letter itself, speaks of in, being in proximity to, and the letter, the name of the letter is family and home, so it is being part of a family in a home, and Rosh is the, conveys a person's head, where we have eyes and ears and a mouth and a brain, and depicting an individual, a person, so people are being invited into God's home, and we're being encouraged to use our heads, our eyes, our ears, our brains to engage in a relationship with God so that we can be part of His family. It is interesting that the third letter is the Hebrew Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It describes actually the nature of this particular home. It was drawn in the form of a ram's head. It is indicative of Almighty God. It is the letter that is used every time that God deploys His title, speaks of His title. He will use this particular letter. Ram's head also speaks of God's willingness to become the Passover lamb, to the male lamb that was sacrificed so that we might be able to live eternally with Him. It speaks of power, strength, might, and therefore it tells us for those who use their eyes to examine God's testimony here in His Torah, who use their ears to listen to what He has to say by reciting His testimony, who use their brains to come to understand what is being communicated, to think about it, and use their mouths to converse and respond to Him in this relationship, and therefore go through the singular door into God's home and become part of His family, literally in the family, that they will be strengthened, empowered, by Almighty God Himself. That is what the first three letters convey. The fourth letter of God's opening salvo to humankind is a shin. The shin tells us the tool that we are to deploy to take advantage of all of this. Shin, it was drawn in the form of two teeth. It conveyed the concepts of language and of nourishment and of words nourishing us. It's God's Torah teaching that is the language that we should examine that will lead to all of these things. The next letter in the Torah, after the Bayeth, which is the depiction of home, after the Rosh, which is the head, depicting who is invited in this home and how we get in. The Aleph do describe the benefit of entering the home, being empowered by God Himself and meeting with God Himself. And the Shin, which depicts language and the benefit of language, reading words, being nourished by words, is a Yod. The Yod is, of course, the first letter in Yahweh's name. The Yod is depicted as God's hand reaching down and out to us, and of course it is an open hand. It is the ability of God to do all of the work necessary to reach out to us and to lift us up so that we can walk with Him, stand with Him, be part of His family, explore the universe with Him, hand in hand. The first letter of God's name is what comes next. And then we have last, the letter Teth is the concluding letter, TH sound. It conveys the idea of surrounding, enclosing, and it is equivalent in Paleo-Hebrew to the Tau, which is the signature or mark. And so what it is saying is we have God's signature on all of this. This is Yah's signature, that this is his promise to provide all of this for us. It's a lot to convey in the in just the first six words of this written testimony, is it not, Larry?
Yeah, it's quite a word picture there, really.
Yeah, and that's how the original Hebrew language was written. They were word pictures. Each letter was drawn to symbolize something, and then when you looked at the symbols that were used to comprise the words, then you come to understand what the word itself meant. And so almost every Hebrew word can be understood by looking at the symbols of the letters that were used to comprise the words.
And can you explain how you're doing it? Can you explain that for us, Shana?
Yeah, what I did is that I've tried to make this easy for folks presenting the research here, but there are two ancient forms of Hebrew, and they are called by various different names, but the original form of Hebrew was pictographs. As I said, the first letter, the Aleph, was drawn in the form of a ram's head. The Beth was drawn in the form of a floor plan for a tent with a singular entrance. The Gamal, which is the third letter, is drawn in the form of a foot to picture someone walking. Right. Yeah, Delet is a doorway or the entrance. The Hay, which is the second and fourth letter in Yah's name, is the picture of a man that is walking, reaching up, observing. It's from the concept of pay attention, observe, take note, be aware of what is being conveyed. The Wah, which is the one of the middle letters of Yahweh's name, it's the vowel that conveys the U or the O sound. It's a tent peg. The word means to increase, to add to, and to make secure. A tent peg was used to depict the concepts of enlarging a home and making it more secure. And so each of the letters that comprise the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet have a specific meaning associated with them. An affirmation of these meanings, by the way, is presented in the 119th Psalm. Now, it is fairly obvious when you look at the letters what they represent, because they're drawn in the forms of pictures. But should you not know that Yod, for example, was the Hebrew word for hand, and that it was drawn with an arm reaching down and out with an open hand, then just by looking at it, you could turn to the 119th Psalm. And should you be challenged in terms of English translations, which just do a horrible job of presenting God's word, you can go to the same site that I'm sharing from.
Introduction to God.org.
The easiest way to get there is introtogod.org. So introtogod.org, or you can go to yadayah.com and there's a link to it. And if you go to the section called His Teaching, and the third section on his teaching is so long because it's based on the Torah, and it's everything God has to say about his Torah is in his teaching. You do there is you go to the part three of it, and you'll come to the 119th Psalm, and you'll see the 119th Psalm presented in groups of eight stanzas, 176 verses. It's 22 letters, eight stanzas or verses, organized under each of those 22 letters, and they're presented in alphabetic order. And in it, the theme of each of the of those eight verses on each letter depicts the meaning of that letter. And so there is a way to verify in Yah's testimony himself, particularly what each of these letters represent. So it is interesting, the 119th Psalm is the most comprehensive presentation in Scripture on how to observe the Torah. And that picture on how to observe the Torah is based upon explaining what each of the letters that comprise all of the words of the Torah, what they mean, the letters themselves. So that by understanding what the letters convey, just as we did with his first word, Bereshith, which is an invitation to come into God's home through the singular doorway to that home, to be part of his family by using your head, your eyes, your ears, your brain, and your mouth to converse with him and to come to understand him, that you are thereby empowered by this experience and that you meet God inside and that you do so by examining his written testimony, his words, which you will find nourishing, and you there will find God's hand reaching out to you to lift you up and his signature there enclosing all of this testimony under his mark. And so in that first word, you have all of that message conveyed. The 119th Psalm explains how each of the letters comprising each of the words of the Torah help us to understand the Torah. And so there's lots of ways to verify all of this. And it's all a process of spending the time with God to come to understand who he is and what he is offering. And I can promise you, it is a never-ending journey of discovery. There's always something wonderful and something new to be learned. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome to the final segment of Shattering Myths for today. We have Larry calling in from Florida with us, but we have a first-time caller, Tommy, who is now calling in from Virginia and wanted to make a comment on the Picto-Hebrew letters that have formed the basis for the discussion over the last 45 minutes to an hour. Hello, Tommy, and welcome to the program.
How are you today?
I'm great. I understand you're calling in from Virginia. I spend part of my year in Virginia. It's a beautiful state.
Yeah, I haven't been here long, but I live here. I'm in the western part from the mountains, and okay. We like it a lot.
All right.
Anyway, I just wanted to kind of dogtail on you what you've been talking about the last few minutes about the Picto-Hebrew.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of religious folks, they like to... But, you know, it's way too hard to translate these ancient scripts, and you need to leave it to the scholars, and, you know, why even bother? And, you know, with the depth that you brought out in just a few letters today, and it just makes no sense why they would say things like that. And I have four kids, and my two youngest daughters are 10 and 8.
Uh-huh.
And just in the last couple of weeks, they've memorized that whole chart. And, you know, I can give them a few words, and they can tell me what it is, and they can translate. If I give them the, you know, the toe, the wa, the resh, and the hey, they can say, that's Torah, Dad, you know. And
yes.
I can show them Yahweh's name, and they can pronounce it, you know. And, you know, it just blows my mind that if a kid that's 10, 8 years old can get it.
And they can tell you what it means, and they can tell you what it means, too. You know, and what you've just said here is absolutely beautiful. What God conveyed this to us in using letters that were so easy for us to understand, because he views us as his children, just as you're speaking to your daughters and teaching them. And it is in the original language before we went and corrupted the letters. It is so easy to understand. You can look at the letters and you know what the word means. You can look at the letters and know how to pronounce the word. And everything that he has to say, even a child can understand. And yet the scholars are, and it's actually not the scholars that will tell you that you have to rely on them. It's the people who are lazy in religion, who want to rely on what other people are telling them, as opposed to learning from God himself, will say, oh, boy, I can't learn Hebrew. It's way too much work. Look how simple this was. Your daughters were able to do it. Hey, I'm not the sharpest tool in the drawer. I'm not a scholar. I could figure it out. You know, there was hope. If there's hope for me, there's hope for everybody.
Scholar, thankfully. Thankfully.
Yeah.
If you're not a scholar. One of the things I want to point out here, and hi, Tommy. It's nice to hear you. One of the things that I would point out is that, isn't it interesting that the more you know, the less you guess? The more you know, the less you rely on faith. The more you know, the less you guess. I just wanted to point that out. You know, you just showed somebody how to go to the 119th Psalm and verify exactly what each of those pictures mean.
Exactly.
There's no guesswork there.
Yeah, and the 119th Psalm is just not this random psalm out there. It's the longest of all of the psalms, and the 119th Psalm has a singular focus. And it tells you, how do you take this thing called the Torah, this Yah's teaching, and how do you observe it in a way that you come to understand it and can avail yourself of all of its promises? How do you come to know God through this Torah, and how do you come to understand what he's offering so that you're in a position to respond to it? That's the entire purpose of the 119th Psalm.
Which are major jewels. Those are jewels.
Oh, they're jewels.
Absolutely. And again, I think you ought to repeat exactly where to find that. Really.
Well, the intro to God.org. So intro to God.org. is the most recent book that I've written. And when I say I've written, I kind of cringe here because I really didn't write an intro to God. An intro to God is based upon the seven things that are most important to Yahweh. God wants us to understand his word. That's the bar in Hebrew. He wants us to understand his name, Yahweh. He wants us to understand his teaching, and that is his Torah. Torah, it permeates everything that he had to say. There is Torah in the Psalms. There is Torah in the prophets. And, of course, there's a book that we call the Torah, which means his teaching. That's four parts. He wants us to understand his covenant, which is, as we've just discovered, the seminal event of his Torah is to present his covenant, because the covenant is the only reason that we exist. He wants us to understand his terms, which are the terms and conditions that he wrote on those two tablets of stone. He wants us to understand the invitations that he provided for us to meet with him, and he wants us to understand his way. And so, an intro to God.org, you're going to find Yahweh's position on these seven things. Come to know him and be in a position to engage in a relationship with him. We'll meet with you again at this time tomorrow.
Farmers keep livestock lean and healthy with a mineral-rich diet. Then, before market, they cut off minerals, leading them to crave high-calorie grains. If weight control is this easy, why prescribe surgery for...